We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, The Making of a Worshipper, and explains why seeing broken pieces become whole is so compelling and what it reveals about God's work in us. Now, here's today's program.
You were created for worship, and if you don't worship Him, you will find someone or something else to worship. You will. You'll exchange the truth of God for a lie. You'll worship your girlfriend or boyfriend. You'll worship your wife or your husband. You'll worship your family. You'll worship your job. You'll worship your money. You'll worship your house. You'll worship your possessions. You'll worship your neighborhood. You'll worship your status. Like tonight, you may or may not know, there's a worship service that's going to take place 9 miles north of here at Mile High at 6:20. I'll be there. People will be gathering from all over the city to come and worship, right? And I have another. I love football. I enjoy football. I'm going to have fun being there. But I have found over the years that that's not nearly as satisfying as worshiping the Lord, because I know the Lord will never let me down. I'll stop right there. But God is looking for that. And if you go to a concert or you do whatever, you'll see people all the time with their hands raised, pagans that raise their hands, pagans that sing songs, pagans that jump around and dance. Why? Because in their heart, they were created for worship. It's just misplaced worship. And so what is God looking for? He's looking for those who will center their worship on Him. You may not know what the calling is on your life. It doesn't matter that you don't know what the calling is on your life. You don't have to know every little detail. Here's what God wants you to know. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Worship the Lord and then respond however He shows you by taking the next step. That's it. If you do that on a consistent basis, all these things will be added unto you. First and foremost, we need worshipers. The first thing God wants you to become is a worshiper. Why? Because if you are not a worshiper, you will focus on yourself. I'm sorry, you'll focus on yourself rather than focusing on the Lord. If you're not a worshiper, even as a Christian man, and you're thinking about yourself, it's hard for you if you're married to love your wife. If you're a single guy and you're not a worshiper, it's hard for you to truly love who you're dating. If you're a married guy and you're focused on yourself, it's hard for you to be the parent that you need to be, the dad that you need to become. If you're focused on yourself, you can't serve anybody else. As a worshiper, you put all your attention on the Lord and you let Him be the one that works in and through you. See, the problem is if you're not a worshiper, then everything else Christ demands will always seem like a burden to you. Christ makes a lot of demands in the Bible. If you're not a worshiper, anytime you hear about one of them, it'll be like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, a pastor teaches on tithing and here's what you'll think. Seriously? I mean, how do you know it's really 10% or what? Because tithe means 10th. But how do you know that? And do I really need to do that? And how can I... But if you're a worshiper and you truly believe that the one you're worshiping saved you from an eternal hell, rescued you, placed His Spirit in you, gave you purpose and direction, and will be with you forever, promising you a perfect utopia and great life with Him both now and forevermore, it's not an issue of should I tithe, it's how much can I do to be generous to God? It's a different question. If you're not a worshiper, right? All the other spiritual disciplines become difficult. And I don't know if I feel like serving. Well, you don't, because you're not a worshiper. If you're worshiping, you'll want to serve. If you're worshiping, you'll want to help God's people. Or how about this? And I'm not looking at anybody when I say this, because you'll all think I'm talking to you, and I'm not. I've just heard a lot of people in different small groups over the years or different counseling sessions, people say, hey, I need to read my Bible more or I need to pray more. Well, I could teach you how to read your Bible more or pray more, but that's a religious activity. If you're a worshiper, you'll want to. If you worship, you'll want to know more about the God you worship. If you worship, you'll want to spend more time with the God you worship. You'll want to pray and you'll want to read your Bible more. And what about evangelism? If you're not a worshiper, evangelism, I promise you, will feel like a task. It'll feel like, well, I'm not really a salesman and I'm not into that whole thing. I don't know that I want to go out there and make a fool of myself. I just don't know. Because let me tell you this. God's not looking for you to help make heaven more crowded. God already knows all those that are his. God knows everybody that's coming. And God's the only one that can save anybody. What's God looking for? He's not looking for more crowds. He's looking for more what? Worshippers. If you're a worshiper of God, you won't be able to keep your mouth closed about how good your God is. Evangelism's natural. Evangelism is just telling another person about how awesome the God is that's given you life in this world. Amen? Like, if you're having a hard time with spiritual disciplines, I go back to worship. Like, how's your worship? Because when you're worshiping, there's a hunger and a desire to get together with God's people to do that very thing. I mean, we've been blessed. I mean, because of COVID, we have an online platform. We literally have people that are watching today from all around the world. We love our online worshipers. Can we just give them some appreciation? We love you. And I've heard from so many of them that they wish they could be here in Denver with us. I know the people here in Denver that wish they could be here with us, but because of a sickness or an ailment or they woke up late today or whatever, they couldn't be here today. But if they had their choice, this is where they'd want to be. And I wish you could be here with us too. But I want to tell you why online is not the same as being here. It's not what God calls us to. Do you know why? Because in heaven, there's nobody that's going to sign up for the online option. That'll never happen, because you'll want to be in the presence of God and in the presence of all of his people. So while it serves a purpose, it's not the ultimate purpose. And some people have told me, Jeff, you know, I'm called to just be the church, not go to church. That's somebody that's not a worshiper. Because if you're a worshiper, you would be called to be the church and also go to church, because your heart couldn't keep you away from a worshiping community to celebrate the resurrected Christ that all of us share. Amen? That's why worship's primary. I see when there's problems in the world, when there's problems in God's word, what he goes after is he tries to find a man. And when he finds that man, he tries to get that man first and foremost to be a worshiper of his great name. Whether you're male or female, what does God want out of you? He wants you to worship him with everything you have. He wants you to give your full allegiance in every area of your life to the authority of him all the time. Amen? God is looking for those who will reverence the glory and holiness of Christ. Second is this, God is looking for those who will celebrate the mercies of Christ that result in mission. God is looking for those who will celebrate the mercies of Christ that result in mission. Aren't you thankful this morning that our God is merciful? I mean, in Lamentations 3, after Israel, they screwed up royally, and the whole book of Lamentations is all about lamenting everything they've done. There's a whole book in the Bible on it. I mean, some of us could write our own book of Lamentations. In Lamentation chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, he says, "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Aren't you glad that God's mercy doesn't run out? His compassion for you and his people never run out, that he loves you. And when we can celebrate his mercies of Christ, it results in mission. The more you worship the Lord, the more you're going to hear his heart for the world. The more you worship Christ, the more in tune you're going to be with what Christ is trying to get done in the world. God is able to fix everything in the world, but God always is looking for somebody to fix it with. One day God's going to come, and in a moment, in a nanosecond, it's all going to be done. But until that time, he's looking for a worshiper who will worship him and then respond accordingly to what he wants. Notice what he says in verse 7. The Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Now, behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come up to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are opposing them." What is God saying? I've seen the suffering of my people, and I've had enough. When you pick on God's people, that's a bad idea. Every time I see someone in the Old Testament or New pick on God's people, it does not go well for them. God loves his people. If you have repented and trusted Christ, God loves you with an unconditional love. Brave Church, God loves us with an unconditional love. It's interesting that when Saul of Tarsus gets saved, Jesus' first question to Saul, who's been going around persecuting Christians and dragging them into prisons and seeing them persecuted and killed. He says this, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" You pick on one of Jesus's, you pick on Jesus, right? He loves you. He loves his church. That's what we see here. He's saying, I see all the suffering. Do you know God sees all the suffering? Isn't that good news this morning? He sees all the suffering in your life. He sees the anxiety in your life, the doubt in your life, the fear in your life, the dread in your life, the shortness of money that you have, the health issue that you have, the challenge in your marriage, the challenge with your kids. He sees it all. He's like, I see it all.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, The Making of a Worshipper, from the series Exodus, explaining why seeing broken pieces become whole is so compelling and what it reveals about God's work in us. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
He sees it all. He's like, I see it all. There's nothing that has escaped my notice. I'm still God. The enemy will lie to you and say, if your God was so good, then why hasn't he fixed it? If your God was so good, why hasn't he healed you? My God's so good, he will. He promises he will. And that's what's going on here. And here's what we have. We have a need to revel in God's mercies, to celebrate God's mercies. God has enough compassion, not only to fix the world, but isn't it good to know God has enough compassion to still call you? I mean, when we think about this story, we lose sight of what we've already read about Moses. Who is God going to call to be the deliverer of his people? A murderer. That's who he's calling. Now, you might say from an earthly perspective, he's unqualified, and you would be right. Because you know why? Because the only people that God can ever call are unqualified people. There's nothing God could call you to that you're qualified to do. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a calling. It would just be your life work. God calls you to things that he wants to get done that you can't get done, and just which is why he wants you to worship him. So you'll believe that he's asking you to take a step, and you'll ask the same question Moses is going to ask. How's this going to happen? Because God can only call unqualified people. Isn't that good to know? Let me tell you, some of you are here today that feel like you've been disqualified for serving the Lord because of a blank. And you can fill in the blank with whatever you want. It can be something that happened to you, something that somebody did to you, some poor choice that you made, or a series of poor choices. Friends, it's not over ever until God says it's over. He can still use you. Faithful is he who will call you, who calls you, he will surely do it. Some of you need to hear that. Because the enemy whispers in your ear all the time, even when you hear the word and you're hearing the call and you're hearing God and you leave and you're not even out in the lobby yet. And the enemy is saying to you, you can't do that. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You don't have the experience enough. And you start believing the lie rather than the truth, which is God saying, I already knew that about you. That's why I picked you. God always chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's why he wants you on his team. I mean, what have you gone through that nobody else has? Where is it that you feel guilt and shame had the Lord not saved your life? I mean, this is the call of God to Moses. I mean, he hears all the compassion. Like, if we heard the Lord tell us, I'm going to fix the school system and I'm going to fix politics and I'm going to fix your money issues and I'm going to fix your health, we would all say, praise the Lord. And one day he will fix all that. But in the meantime, as we look out at the world and we see all the different problems, and as we worship the Lord, we're aware of that need. And God says, I want you to go do something about it. We answer a lot of times like Moses. Notice what God says in verse 10. Therefore, come now, I'll send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. I'm going to send you back to where you came from. And you can almost hear in Moses, like, been there, done that, don't want to go back to Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Did you hear what he's saying? God's talking about his plan, says, Moses, you're gonna do my plan. And Moses is like, I can't. I don't want to do that. I don't feel I'm, I that's not me. When God calls you, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with God. Do you see the difference? So he's like, so how am I going to do this? And here's the response. God says in verse 12, and certainly I will be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. I'm going to give you a sign, Moses. Here's how you'll know it's me and not you. I'm sending you, and here's the plan. You're going to bring all 2 million back here, and in the way you're giving me reverence right now, all 2 million are going to give me reverence right here. And when that happens, you'll know that I was in charge. Sometimes we like to know early on, like, okay, just tell me how it's going to work. And God doesn't always give us the house. God can point us in a direction to see if we'll take steps of faith. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God often doesn't tell us everything we need to do. And even when he does and shows you a specific, that call gets confirmed over time and gets sharper and sharper and sharper. Which is why I would say this to you. If you were saying to me today, I just don't know what my call is. I don't know what God wants me to do. Become a worshiper of him. I know he wants that. And if you'll do that and respond to whatever he shows you by taking a step, God will use that to draw you closer and use your purpose for his glory. Even if you never know what it was on this side of heaven, you'll know it when you get there. Become a worshiper. Celebrate that God's merciful. Celebrate that he does this. I mean, there's so many times I've had knockdown dragouts with the Lord. I remember after I graduated from seminary and the church planting residency I was in didn't work out. And I was telling the Lord, okay, Lord, I've trained now for 5 years, went to seminary, didn't want to do that. If you've got something else for my life, I will do it. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to start pushing on doors. Coaching, business, whatever, you show me. I'll do ministry still. You just have to show me what it is. And I remember I was over in Europe with a friend who's a missionary in the Czech Republic, and we traveled all over Europe. And during that time, God used the books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel to clarify the calling for me at that time in my life. Now, I knew a little bit about those books because I went to seminary and studied them, but I'd never read them intimately and personally for myself. And for me, I was at the time as a single guy, I was telling the Lord, I'll go anywhere. I can learn languages fast. I'm pretty good with people. Send me to any Middle East country, I'll go. Send me to Russia, I'll go. Send me anywhere in the world, I'll go. You got me, Lord. And as I was reading through Jeremiah and Ezekiel, God began to speak to me and say, you ain't going anywhere. I want you to go back to your own people in the United States, and I want you to call them to repentance and send them all over the world. And I said, I don't want to do that. That's not what I want. I mean, send me, I'll go, right? And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now, because that was God's call on my life, and that's what he's still doing, and I'm still open to what that looks like. But John Piper says, when we talk about worship, here's why global missions exist. Global missions exist because worship does not. What's God looking for? He's looking for worshipers. Why would you share the gospel? I mean, sometimes we share the gospel and we'll say, I think they came to faith, but I'm not so sure. Well, the Lord knows those who are his, so sometimes we truly don't know. I get that. But I'll ask this question. Do they worship the Lord? Do they want to be in the presence? Well, they're not that kind of Christian yet. Well, then they're not a Christian. Because there's something that goes off in our heart when we're truly saved. Not about where to go to church and not about style of worship, but there's a desire to give our full allegiance to the one who saved us, right? And that's what we're doing here. God's looking for worshipers that reverence his glory and his holiness. He's looking for worshipers that celebrate his mercies that result in missions. Because God's going to tell you as you worship him, you're going to see things in this world that just aren't right. And you're going to see them clearer than somebody else sitting next to you. And you're going to say, something needs to be done about that, God. And he's like, yeah, you go do something about that. And you're going to feel, well, not me. You know, maybe my pastor can do that or something. I'm kind of busy right now. No, no, it's you. And that's why God gives you clear vision when you worship him. The third thing God says is, he's looking for worshipers who trust the awesome power of Christ, who uniquely created you. To trust the awesome power of Christ, who uniquely created you. Notice verse 13. Then Moses said, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name, and what shall I say to them? He's saying now, okay, God, I'll go. And when I go, I'll give them the whole routine. I'm being sent by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But God, you got to understand, they may say to me, well, who sent you? Like, how do we know you're for real? 40 years ago, you left. 40 years ago, you killed a guy and left. Like, why should we listen to you? Like, God, what am I supposed to tell them? I'm so unqualified. Nobody's actually going to listen to me in this venue. Sheep listen to me. I can pasture them. I can shepherd them. But how is anybody in Egypt ever going to listen to me? This is an incredible verse. You'll be familiar with it. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God, what's your name? I am who I am. It's this phrase, Yahweh. It's the strong, personal creator God of the universe, the one who keeps all his covenants, the one who has been here in eternity past and eternity future and dwells in the present, the one who is unlike any other. That's the one who is sending you to them. And that's what we got to get in our understanding of God. It's the awesome power of God. I use the word awesome purposefully. I think it's okay when I preach about God to use the word awesome. I think the word originated probably by the Valley Girls in my decade in the 80s or something like that. You know, where, how was last night? It was awesome. It was so awesome. How was dinner? It was awesome. Did you go out with your friends last night? Yeah, I did. How was it? It was awesome. Did you eat at that restaurant? Yeah, how was it? It was awesome. We don't know what awesome means. We dumb it down. Awesome really means awe-inspiring, jaw-dropping. There are no words for what I'm witnessing right now. The only one that can be attributed to is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's awesome. And his power is awesome. His power is mighty. His power is great. And there is no other. So he says to Moses, when they ask who sent you, tell them that. And he said, well, how do you know it's Jesus in the bush again? Remember in John chapter 8 when the religious leaders were pushing on Jesus? And they're like, who do you think you are? And he said, I'll tell you what, Abraham longed to see this day and rejoiced when he saw me. And they said, Abraham, you're not even 50 years old. You think you know Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. What was he saying? I'm the God you're reading about in the burning bush. I'm the one that you've read about in your whole Old Testament. I that am standing before you am the one that created and sustained everything. I'm the one that gave you your body. I'm the one that's given you moisture in your eyes for you to be able to blink. I'm the one that keeps your heart beating. I'm the one that gives you oxygen for your lungs. I am. That's who I am. They picked up stones to stone him when he said that. And it wasn't his time, so he got away. That's who you serve. That's the God who has your back. That's the God who, when he's talking to you in a church service, you're like, how am I ever going to accomplish that? That God is the one who's telling you, I can do it in and through you. Stop doubting and believe. That's what he's saying. God is not just, okay, he's God, and he's a bigger God than some of the other gods. No, he's the only God. He's the reason that you're still being held together. He's the reason that you have purpose. He's the reason you're still breathing. He's the one that orchestrated all your days. He's the one that orchestrated your purpose. He's the reason you're good at things and bad at things. He's the one who's done everything for you, in and through you. He is worthy of all your worship. He's worthy of all your praise. And he's telling Moses, like I'm telling you, I got your back. You don't need to worry. I mean, even later when Moses is going to commission Joshua, in Deuteronomy 31, two different times, Joshua 31, verse 6 and 31, verse 8. I'll read 31, 8. Said, is the Lord who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. God is your personal covenant-keeping God who created all things, and he is awesome. I mean, we introduce people at games and they run out. We have all sorts of fanfare and music behind it and all these different things. When God introduced himself to the world, it says in the beginning, what? God. Who was there? God. Who's always been here? God. Who single-handedly created everything out of nothing.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, The Making of a Worshipper, from the series Exodus, explaining why seeing broken pieces become whole is so compelling and what it reveals about God's work in us. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.